Okay, so the first two shiurim, right, of the Zman, were focused on really being really a haktama to the din of Hazama. And we were basically trying to develop two distinct, you know, general approaches to the nature of the dynamic between the Edom Mazimim and the Edom Zomim, right? Why it is that the Mazimim are believed over the Zomim. We basically developed two mahach. Approach number one we'll call the Baldaber approach, which basically views the Edom Zomim as the Baldaber, as the Nidon. And therefore, once that's the case, it's not two versus two, it's really two versus zero. The only Edom at play are the Edom Mazimim. They're testifying against the Edom Zomim as the Baldaber, and therefore that's Nemela, they're believed, because two versus zero. And Friday, in the second shiur, we developed a second mahalach, which we call the Trey, you know, approach, which is that, no, really we view Edom Zomim as Edom, right? Basically, we view it as a Trey clash. The Edom Zomim said the Maisa took place. Edom Mazimim are saying not necessarily. It's a direct clash between the Mazimim and the Zomim. But yet the Chiddush of Hazama is that we trust the Mazimim over the Zomim. So either that's just Stamak Zeres Akasuv, or you have some type of Svara, such as the Chiddush Iran Svara, or the Pnei Yeshua Svara. We'll get to some of those details today. But in essence, according to this second Mahalach, it's really a Trey. Therefore, it's a Chiddush Din that we're not going to treat this like Stam HaChasha, but rather we're going to trust the Mazimim over the Zomim. So with that background, I think now we're really better equipped to really now go through the sugyas, the different details of Hazama that come up, you know, aladaf, you know, with now that we're equipped with these two general mahal. So the first issue that comes up is going to be the opening line of the Mishnah. This is a very important phrase of Achiyazimu es Atzmo. So let's get started. By rereading the Mishnah, and we're going to see that there are different explanations for how to read the Mishnah, and we'll see how they all tie in to some of the mahakam that we discussed earlier. Yoshua, you want to start us off?
Sure.
So this is Mishnah on Daf
Hey. So
what is that? It's hard to translate that, but translate as best as you can.
The Edom do not become Edom Zomim until their hazama is done. Themselves, or it is done to them themselves.
Beautiful. Okay, excellent. If I were to ask you, to pinpoint, what is the ambiguity? What's not clear about the Mishnah? What would you say about that line? What's not clear? What part of that?
Who the Atzmon, how we get to Achizim.
Close a little better.
Are they being Mizimin as Atzman, or are they themselves being?
Okay.
Is Atzman referring to them? Or
no, not the Atzman. Well, Atzman is clearly the Edom Zomim, but really, who's doing the Yazimu? Exactly. Really. So what's was at the pinpoint, right? The ambiguity in this line is what you're going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ambiguity is who is doing. Who's the doer of the verb of Yazimu? Right, who is the subject of the verb yazimu? Is that the Edom Zomim themselves, or is that referring to the Edom Mazimim? Okay, we'll obviously spell that out. You guys all know what I'm referencing, but continues is very important to see the continuation of the Mishnah. The Gemara then asks,
Ketzad. So how is this? What's
so? But Pasha's Ketzad is asking, how is what so?
How is it that in case of Edom Zomim,
okay,
the above line. How does it play?
Exactly. But Pasha's Ketzad is coming to explain the line of the Yazimu is Asma. We'll see, not everyone's going to agree to that, but that's just on a Pasha's level.
Amru, mi idin anu bi shpo ni shaharagas nefesh. So they say, we testify, two Edom come and they say, we testify about X person that he killed someone.
He's a Reuven killed Shimon.
Yeah. Amru lahem, so two other Edom come and say to them, how are you testifying to this person? Shari Neragzeh, that Reuven killed Shimon.
Or how are you testifying to that? Because why? Shari Neragzeh.
Shari Neragzeh, oh, Hahoragzeh. Or, so meaning Shimon or Reuven. Exactly. Were with us in some place at that day. In Eluzon.
Right, that's not considered a case of Hazama. That's rather considered a case of Hachasha. Right, because they were saying Reuven killed Shimon. Then the second cut. Be very careful. Second cut are saying no, because one of the Bali Davar of the original case was not there. That's Achashet, that's not Azama. What's the case of Azama? Well, Amr Lahem, yeah.
Amr Lahem, hey, Atemi Idin Shari Atema Yisin Mayo, Osayon Amun. But if they say, how can you testify because you were
the Adim, exactly, you were with
on
us
that day at that place. Hare Eluzon. So that's going to be our case of Adim Zomen, the Ne'erugin Alpia.
Exactly.
And they are killed based on the testimony of the Adim Hamesis.
Exactly. So this is the key. Right? Everyone agrees that the Ketzad part of the Mishnah is spelling out the classic din of Hazama, that Hazama is only when the second cut say Imanu Aisem to the Eden themselves. If they don't talk about the Eden, but they rather talk about the case itself, then that's a case of Hakasha. But as I said before, the ambiguity in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah is that first line of Achi Yazimu as Atzman, who is the subject of that verb of Yazimu? Who is this Tanai of Yazimu as Atzman referring to? Is it referring to the Mazimim, or is it referring to the Zomim themselves? So let's get right to it. So we're going to see, as we pointed out, two different interpretations of this line. The first interpretation, which is probably the classic interpretation, is Eitan what? When you read it, how did you interpret the line Achi Yazimu as Atzman? Who is the Yazimu?
That the Eitan Mazimim are going to come and say that, no, that's not true because you guys were with us.
Exactly, right? So the first explanation of Yazimu as Atzman, the one adopted by many of the Rishonim, is to say that Yazimu as Atzman is referring to how the Mazimim must be Mazim, the Zomimim, right? And in that, according to this explanation, what is the emphasis of Atzman? The Mazimim need to focus on what?
The Edom, not the Edos.
Exactly, the Edom, the Gavra, and not the Edos, not the Cheftishal Edos, we say. Right, so the Edom, the Gavra, by Imanu Ha'isim, it's all about you were with us, but not be Mesiaches, not relate to the Edos, the Cheftishal Edos itself. Good. So, who is the earliest Rishon to give this explanation? Rishon, on the Daf?
Rashi.
So let's see Rashi. Right, Yitzhak, would you mind? There are two important Rashis for this. There's going to be Rashi on the Mishnah, and then Rashi on the Gemara. So first the Rashi on the Mishnah.
They are mazim them with regards to the Ezim themselves.
Exactly. Right. The mazimim must be mazim, the zomim be'iske gufan, in regards to their guf, their whereabouts, but not...
Well, be'iske ahori ve'ahori, not very strong.
Sorry, but not in regards to the whereabouts of the Balei Davar. The Kedavarish Ba'azil, right? Rashi L'shitaso says, yeah, look at the Ketzad. Right? According to Rashi's interpretation, the Ketzad, the Hemshach, continuation of the Mishnah, is the Pshat in this line of Achi Yazimu as Atzman, which is all about that the Hazama performed by the Mazimim must be focused on the Gavra Eder. Oh, and then Rashi, again, L'shitaso, is the explanation of the Gemara. We have to first see the Gemara. So the Gemara Minan Emili, you see, you talk, you might?
Yes, Minan Emili. Where do we know, probably going back on the first line?
Well, it depends how you ask, but right. For sure it's talking about, seemingly it's talking about the Ketzad. The question is that also referring to the first line, but that depends. So how do we know this? Did this about Imanu Ha'isem?
Amr Adod, Amr Kral, he made a checker, an aid checker or not. Plus it says, calls it an aid checker, so actually the checker group of Shalevas. And there's from that the aid himself needs to be found as an aid checker that it needs to be, the shaker needs to be then in the actual aid itself.
Yeah, that's interesting. You're inserting the Rambam and Perish of Mishnayos, but it's very important, because if you look at the actual Lashon of Gemara, what's the Joshua? Ad shetishaker gufa shel eidus. That's an important diok to be made. So while some Rishonim are focusing on, Eidim, the Gemara itself seems to focus on eidus. And we're going to get back to that. That is an important diok. Right, all the Gemara literally says, until you basically falsify, the Gufishal Edus, until you falsify the Edus itself. It's going to be important how the Rishonim were saying, oh no, it's all about Gavra, Gavra, Gavra. How are they going to explain the Gemara, which seems to be focused on what we're trying to contrast it with, which is the Cheftishal Edus. Okay, one more line.
Yeah,
so similar drasha. Again, the drasha again is the lashon achatisra. So you're like, you make false the gufa shel edus, again referring to the edus. But what does Rashi l'shitaso do? The first Rashi on the Gemara. Oh, so he changes the Gemara's lashon from edus, which is focused on the tochen ha-edus, to the, no, it's all about the Gavra Edom itself. So Rashi Lashitaso, who explained the Mishnah of Achi Azimah's Atman, is referring to, no, you have to be, the focus is Yimanu Ayisem on the Gavra Edom. They were says, oh, when the Gemara says Edus, really it's referring to Edom. Okay? So at first glance, Rashi seems to be Lav Davka in the Gemara, if you want to make that into a term. And we'll suggest maybe something in a couple minutes for maybe why it's not Lav Davka. So Rashi is the first Rishon who clearly interprets Achi Azimah's Atzman as referring to that the Mazimim must be focusing on the Gavra of the Gavra Edom. Good. After Rashi, who else do we have? Tosos. Exactly. The first Tosos on the page. Noam, you want to go for it? So Dima Masl in a Edom. Oh, so what's the pshat? The pshat is has to be focused on the atzman of the, you know, the mazimim has to be focused on the atzman shel edim, on the gavr edim, by saying yimanu ayisem. What's the contrast?
Lo she yizimu alfiya perim. Lo she yizimu alfiya perim. She yimu alharagar nereg
perim. Exactly. You have to falsify the edus not based on the horig or the nera, but rather al yidei the gavr edim. So Tosfos, like Rashi, seems to be focusing on Yazimu as Atzman, is that the Mazimim must focus on the gavr edim. So we have Rashi, and we have Tosfos. And then after Rashi and Tosfos on the daf, we have the Rambam and Perish Mishnayos. Let's go back to the Perish Mishnayos, again, called Diugam to be me. Again, the way Yitzhak was already reading the Gemara was hinting already to this Perish Mishnayos. Shimon, do you have the Perish Mishnayos there? All right, so again, it's interesting, although the Rambam and Perish HaMishnayos here seems to be focusing not really so much on the Pshat in the Mishnah, but really is focusing more on the Gemara, which is interesting. Go for it, Shimon. Right, so he's making a diuk, right? Saying the diuk of the drasha, is what Yitzhak was reading it before, but the diuk of the drasha is that the pasuk says, v'inei aid sheker ha'ed, that the aid begavra gave false testimony, right? Instead of saying, oh, v'inei and behold, right? Well, drasha v'inei, right? Behold, aidu sheker, no, it's aid sheker ha'ed, v'lo nemar, and it doesn't say what? You had, right, v'lo nemar, aidu sheker. So that tells us that Achitehei Tehiyeh. Oh, so they're telling us that the Edus of the Mazimim must be on the Etzema Edim, on the Gavra Edim. Below. Right, and not referring to the Tochana Edus, because that would have been Vehu Edus. Right, because if they were focused on just contradicting the Tochana Edus, that would be Hachasha. And in the case of Hachasha, because in the context of Achasha, there you have a stalemate, and that's not what goes on in Hazama, where we clearly, you know, render the Edim Zomim as the Shakran. So again, the Rambam here also, again, in his Pirush Mishnayos, is very much zeroing on the drasha in the Gemara and saying, oh, the whole drasha is emphasizing right the diuk of Edim and not Edus. So you have Rashi, Tosos, and now the Rambam, all interpreting the Mishnah and the parallel drushas in the Gemara, is all about that the focus of the Mazimim must be the Gavr Edim and not the Cheftza shel Edus. Good. So it's actually interesting that the Rambam, in quoting the drusha of the Gemara, doesn't quote the Lashon of the Gemara, because actually that doesn't work out well for him. Right? The Lashon of the drusha of the Gemara is, right, Achitishakir Gufa Shal Edus, which is exactly the opposite of what he's trying to do. So the Rambam, Lashitaso, avoids the Lashon of the Gemara and inserts his own diuk that no, it's all about Gavra Edim versus Cheftza Shal Edus, and therefore it really ignores the Lashon of the Gemara, and we'll get back to that in a moment. As we pointed out in Shir number one, this Rambam, especially in the Hemshech, seems to be going along with the Baal Dover approach. The whole focus is on they have to be focused on the Gavra Edim. That's why it's not Trey or Trey, because the focus is on the Gavra Edim and not the Cheftza Shel Edus. And as I pointed out to some people in Seder, I might have forgotten to mention this, some of the Achronim who seem to interpret the Rambam in the Trey or Trey camp, it could very well be that they didn't have access to the Perish of Shias, right? It's it's not clear that especially early Achronim had access to the Perush Mishnayos. So it could very well be that they're just interpreting the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka just in isolation. The Rambam in Yad HaChazaka is a little more ambiguous about this question. The Perush Mishnayos seems very clear that it's all about Gavra Edim versus Chefzishal Edus, which really seems to be more in the track of the Bal Dover approach. That's just important to know. So the last Rishon, so that's Rashi, we had Rashi, Tosos, Rambam. What is the last Rishon who seems to explain the Mishnah in this way? Rabbi Nachman himself, yes, that's true, is the Meir. The Meir. Anyone have the Meiri, at least through a Kovitz? So the Meiri, again, generally follows the Rambam. So it's not surprising that they hear that the Meiri quotes the Rambam Perush Mishnayos. And then afterwards says, remember, we pointed out the Rambam Perush Mishnayos himself doesn't go back to the line of the Mishnah. So the Meiri is doing is saying he quotes the Rambam Perush Mishnayos and the Rambam's interpretation of the Gemara, and says, now this is the pshat in the Mishnah itself. Right, Ellie, do you have where the Meiri says, Amar Meiri?
Yeah. Amar Meiri. Ein Edim Nasen Zomen, Achi Zimu Atzman Sha'idim. The Edim don't become Zomen until they actually go against the Edim themselves. Kolomar Imanu Hayisem.
Exactly, right. He puts it all together, right? Kolomar, I mean the Ketzad, right, that the focus on Imanu Hayisem, on the Gavra Edim, is the pshat in Achi Zimu Es Atzman. Exactly. But if they were to focus on undermining the Tochen Aedus by saying the Horig or the Nerag was with them, so then that would be Hachasha, not Azam. So again, the Meiri, very much generally adopting the Rambam's approach, basically takes the Rambam Perush Mishnayos, who's focused on the Gemara, and says now that is the Pshat in the Mishnah itself. But before we analyze, you know, the Shita in general, the question is, what's the big question on this approach, given the Lashon of the Gemara? We referenced it before. Why is this approach seem to be against the Gemara? Exactly. The Gemara, when it gives the drasha and trying to encapsulate what is the pshat here, says, Gufa shel edus. All right, and that's a problem for this approach, which says, the whole focus is on the Gufa shel edim. Any suggestions for how these mefarshim will understand the Gemara? Ellie?
The Gufa shel edus is the Edom. That once you get rid of the Edom, so then that gets rid of the Gufa shel Edom.
Okay, good. Explain a little bit more. One more time.
That the Edos that they're giving is dependent on the Edom, like their status as Edom holding up. So when you...
Remember, Gufa shel Edos is referring to the Edos, the Edom zone.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So when you get rid of the edus of the zomim, you do that by undermining the edim themselves.
Okay, good. Okay, you want to answer that one?
I think Yeshua was saying, there's questions like that. Now, when you're doing edim zomim, you're actually like, removing them from the situation, so you're proving that what their testimony is definitely false, as opposed to a kasha where they might not be false, they're just going to suffer.
Okay, good, excellent. Excellent. So I think that both Eliyahu Mordechai are getting at is this is the following chiluk. Sometimes you have a distinction between the result, the totsa'a, and the, what do you call it, tahalich, you know, the process or the maisa, and then yeshivas you are, right? So you have a chiluk between the results and the process. So I think in this case, the way these Rishonim are going to understand the Gemara is that the drasha of Ashet Tishakir Gufa Shel Edus is not referring to the process, it's referring to the totsah, to the results. But they're going to say exactly what you're trying to say, that the way to go about bringing about the results of completely undermining the Edus of the Edim Zomim is by focusing on the Gufa Shel Edim. So the way Rashi, right, Rashi, Tosos, Rambam, and Meiri are going to learn this Gemara, is that, yeah, the process is focused on the Edim, on the Atzman Shel Edim, but by doing that, you will then thereby attain the result of completely undermining the Edus. Because, as we were saying before, if you take on the Edus head on, so then ironically, by taking it on head on, you're not going to undermine it, because that's a chasha, we don't know who's right. So if you want to completely undermine the Chetzah Shel Edus, if you want to attain the result of Ashet Tishakir Gufa Shel Edus, you need to go through the process of taking down the Edim, as you're saying before, right? So again, the way all the Rishonim are going to interpret the Gemara is that the Gemara is not telling you the process, It's telling the result that the way to get the result of completely undermining the Chefetz Shel Edus is ironically by focusing and undermining the Gavra Edim. Because if you go straight head on to the Chefetz Shel Edus, then you're not going to undermine the Chefetz Shel Edus. You only undermine the Chefetz Shel Edus by undermining the Gavra by the Gavra Edim. So I think that works for most. We showed him, I think for sure, the Rambam. When Rashi says Gufishal Edus and he says Gufishal Edim, most, to be honest, it sounds like he's saying La Davka. He's trying to say reread those words not as Gufishal Edus, but rather Gufan Shal Edim, in my humble opinion. So I'm not sure if this chat works out for Rashi, because Rashi does seem to say, no, La Davka, don't interpret the Gemara as Edus. Really, it means Edim. But at least for Tosos, the Rambam, and the Meiri, they can say, no, don't lot dafka the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about the results, and we're just talking about the process. Seems like, do you agree with that? One of you guys agreed with that?
We had a discussion.
A discussion about that. Why? What do you think, Yeshua?
I was saying the more lot dafka approach, that Rashi is contradicting the Gemara.
Yeah.
And Eli gave his pshat.
So you thought maybe that could be pshat Rashi also?
Yeah.
The Rashi is just telling you that, yeah, I you would like him that. To, like, because he doesn't say anything.
Yeah, you want to do more.
Yeah, meaning, if you said, oh, al yaday, if you said, gufa shal edus, al yaday, you know, gufa shal edim, that would have been better. When he just, like, Rashi just has the words, and it just sounds like he's la dafka. That's what it sounds like. But for sure, for the Rambam, and the Meiri, and Tosos, I think you're open to saying, no, you don't have to la dafka. One's talking about the results, and one's talking about the process. Fine. Any questions before we... Yeah, give it.
Gemara is looking for a source of Yizimah's Atzma, and that here to be Gemara Yisim, and then Joshua is emphasizing the result, and not like process of trying to...
Yeah, meaning... Yeah, so I guess the way they're going to understand it is that, meaning, I guess, how do we know that Hazama, they're going to say... What the Drush is trying to emphasize, that Hazama gets to the end, like the end game is to completely uproot the, we're trying to say, what differentiates Hazama from Hachasha is that Hazama attains the goal of Tishakir Gufashal Edus. So I think what she's trying to differentiate is that, so how do you get there? The only way to get there is obviously not through the Stam Hachasha, you know, means, it must be something else. You're right. You would have loved it to, since the mission is talking about the process to get there, but I guess it's trying to say, sometimes when you make clear what the goal is, that hints to you, gives you direction to where you have to go in the process. But point well taken, but I think that's the way you have to do it. Is there a hand? You sure? Okay. Well, so now, to analyze, right, so we have Rashi, Tosos, Rambam, Meiri, making very clear the pshat in the Mishnah of Achia Zimu as Atzman is that the Imanu Ayisim has to be focused on the Gavra Eidah. But what they all don't explain, at least in this context, is why. Why is it that Hazama needs to be focused on the Gavra Eidah? So based on things we've learned, what's the most classical explanation for why Imanu Ayisim has to be focused on the Gavra Eidah? What would you say? Exactly. Right, excellent. The easiest way to explain these Mefarshim is the Bali Davar approach. The reason why Hazama is only when you focus on the Gavra Edim is because the whole point of Hazama is to make the Edim Zomim, exactly what Mordechai is saying, into the Bali Davar. The only way the Edim Zomim become the Bali Davar is if you're speaking about them as the Nidon, as the subject of the case. But once you're speaking about the case itself, then the Nidon is the case, not the Gavra Edim. So I'd say the easiest way to explain, right, these Mefarshim is that the reason why you need to focus on the Gavra Edim is because they're adopting the Baal Davar approach. Excellent. And if you go back, let's say, to the Ramban, it was like the classical Baal Davar approach. When the Ramban is explaining why the Edim Zomim are the Baal Davar, he says, why? Because the Edim Azimim are saying Imanu Aisim. Right, so the people, the Mefarshim who adopt the Baal Davar approach, all point to the fact that Imanu Ayisim is all focused on the Gavra Edim. So the easiest explanation is to say that these Mefarshim adopt the Baal Davar approach. But again, that's not going to work for everyone, because who on this list is someone we know that most likely holds the Trey approach? Tosfos. Right, so we have to explain also within the Trey approach, why is it that there needs to be focus on the Gavra Edim within the Trey approach?
Exactly, like Tosos here would have to agree with.
Okay, you're right. You can always, you know, be different Tosos, and that's true. But if you think back, some of the Trey approaches also you know, when they were trying to explain why it is that despite the trey, we favor the mazimim over the zomim, their explanations also require iman wa'isim. And I'm going to give you an example of one of the explanations which require iman wa'isim. The Ran. Excellent. All right, the Joshua's Ran. Right now, I think we did this quickly at the end of the last year, so let's read it together. Right, the Joshua's Ran, again, I put it on today's Mamakomas because many people had not seen it. So the middle paragraph, right, the Ran is explaining within the Trey approach why it is that we believe the Mazimim, and the explanation, exactly like Kiva is saying, the explanation of the Ran is going to be very specific to only when the Mazimim say Imanu Ayisa. So Kiva, would you mind? So there's all an implicit question. Why is it, right, it's Trey Trey, so why do we believe the Mazimin over the zone? Amen? Oh, so he's about to give this svara that the Mazimin are basically making themselves more vulnerable to be caught in their lie than the Eden Zomim. They're making themselves more vulnerable to being disproven. Right. So again, it's always like to think like a liar, right? If the Edom Zomim were lying, right, they could. Why would they not necessarily be worried about being caught in their lie? Because what could they have thought? Right, no one else saw them. Meaning they were in this other place, right? Right, again, they claim that, you know, Reuven killed Shimon in Times Square. They happened to be in Mokko, right? They thought they were here in the, you know, in the middle of the winter, and no one saw them. So they thought, no one's going to catch us, and because no one saw us here. So therefore, we'll be able to get away with the lie of saying Reuven killed Shimon in Times Square.
All they have to do is know that no one saw them.
Exactly.
No one saw them, and also like make up some alleyway and like some back road.
Okay, so you're saying Times Square is not a great idea. Yeah, right. Exactly. Okay. Fair point. Right? And they have more control over seeing if they were seen. They looked around, they saw that no one saw them, so they're like, okay, we're good to go. We can claim to that something happened right in some random spot. Let's say not Times Square. Exactly. But we're gonna see that the Ron's saying, the Mazimim though, don't have that luxury. Because why? Meaning, right, if they're lying, that means they weren't with the Edom Zomim. So that means the Edom Zomim were in a different place. And therefore, right, so if the Edom Mazimim were not with Edom Zomim, so for all the Edom Mazimim know, the Edom Zomim were with a huge crowd. And therefore, they would be easily able to prove that they were in the place that they claimed to be. So the Ran is therefore saying, right? Exactly. So therefore, you have this umdina. So the Ran has this umdina that specifically in the case of Imanu Ha'isim, the Mazimim are making themselves very vulnerable to be disproven. But again, this whole umdina only applies when they're saying Imanu Ha'isim, because then they're making themselves super vulnerable to the Edom Zomim proving that no, right, you weren't with us, and we have proof.
But aren't the Zomim also opening up themselves up a lot? Because if they're lying, then any Edom could come and say, no, we saw the actual lights. They don't know who they didn't.
That's not Hazama.
Meaning you're saying
Hazama will only be exactly. They're only going to be worried about Hazama, right? And the Hazama is only going to be if someone saw them, and they have control of that because they looked around, right? By Yifan Kovachal, right? They looked around, saw no one was there, and they said, okay, you know, we're good to go.
The Gemara's Svara of Mil says Avidu Leguye. That's Dafkov, it's Avidu Leguye that they weren't there, or that the Maisa didn't, that the details that they're saying didn't actually happen.
Okay, meaning, that's a fair point. So, therefore, what? So you're saying, but.
I'm saying they would.
Yeah, but again, I guess to Akiva's point, meaning, if they concoct, right, that this Maisa took place in a random spot. So they could also easily just assume that no one's going to be able to contradict them. Right, the one thing that's meaning that they'd have to worry about is that someone's seeing them, but they're in control. They looked around, and therefore they thought they neutralized that issue. So I'm going to take questions in a moment. So just in the big picture here, so we're saying this focus on Gavra Edim could also be explained from the Trey approach, released within the Ran's Umdina, because the Ran's Umdina only applies when they're saying Imanu Aisim. Because when they're saying Imanu Aisim, then they're opening themselves and making themselves very vulnerable to be disproven. So even within the Ran's Umdina, again, you also can understand why it's Dafka the Gavra Edim. Yeah.
So I don't understand. I mean, can't the Zomen and the Mazimen both make up that they were in some remote place? Right, meaning the Zomen would do it so that way no one can be mazim them, and then.
But the mazimen will be disproved, even if there are eidim who saw the Zomen. Meaning, mazimen are not going to only be disproved if someone saw them.
But they wouldn't be disproved; they'd be suffering this. It would be hafash in that case. Meaning, if eidim Zomen come and say, if mazimen come and say you're imanu Yisem, and then two more didn't come and say no, they were here. So then you just have.
This is Yitzhak's point about Avidu Lugulia. Here he's just, I was wrong. And here it's all about, is it a milsa Avidu Lugulia? Lat Afka Hazama. So the point is that the mazimim could be disproven, not mitzad hazama. You're totally right. It's that they could be easily disproven,
but not disproven because it's only disproven something.
But again, but they will be considered shakranim, meaning because you know what I'm saying. Yeah.
But meaning if the zomen are making up that they were in some remote place, so that way no one saw them. So then to have Edom then defend them, we were with you.
No, we're saying from the perspective of the mazimim. The mazimim were really not with the zomim. So the mazimim have no clue. Maybe the zomim have tons of people who are with them who would be able to defend them in court.
But then that just creates hachasha.
Okay, but at the end of the day, they're still subjecting themselves to other people coming along and contradicting them. That's still within the Ran's Umdina. The Ran's Umdina is that a person is not going to, you know, lie in a way where they can be contradicted, even if the contradiction is misad hachash.
But if the Zomen themselves made up that they were in some remote place so that no one can imazim them, so then when these fake Eid Mazimim come and they say that you were actually with us, so then the initial Eid Zomen have no defense, because if anyone else comes and says, well, actually that's not true because we were with them, so then that contradicts what they said at Pesach Chila, which was that they weren't with anyone.
Well, they're never going to say they were never with anybody.
But if they want to make sure that it can't be,
they'll just come up with it. All the Ran is doing, he's coming up with a reasoning why the mazimim should be more scared of being found out than the zomim. That's all he's doing, and therefore there's an umdina which favors the side of the mazimim. So yesterday, Friday, we pointed out in the Gadol, it sounds like the Ran is a trey person, both in the lashon and the fact that he's trying to, you know. Push weight on the mazim over the zomim. It sounds like it is a stalemate, if not for this added umdina. And today we're just saying that the nature of this umdina also only exists in the case of Imanu Aisa. Yeah.
Isn't the psychological assumption around the umdina compromise once you enter this initial stalemate? Once it's around starting point, it's true.
Yeah.
So once even that point, we're dealing with two groups of people are both suffering shakran. Psychological, that people are suffering shakran, that means they're suffering like very, like their psychological state is not going to be the real B'nai Adam state. So now we're going to superimpose.
Well, we don't know. That's certainly.
And economic, but now we're going to impose like a rogue healthy B'nai Adam onto people that were like both suffering, like really not healthy at all.
Yeah, but as you said, I mean, the suffering, he says the chicken and the egg, meaning we're trying to figure out who is the machnas themselves into a greater, you know, milsa David Luguliye situation. And that is generally an umdina, that a milsa David Luguliye gives adds as nemanas. You're saying that the mazimim, given what they're saying, they have a greater milsa David Luguliye, and therefore that grants them more nemanas, and therefore you would say the other ones are the shakrana. Okay, and what's the other, besides the Ran, what is the other, like, umdina type thing, right, where we say the one side has a greater nemanas than the other side? The Pnei Yeshua, or the Migu. And what was the basis, we also did this quickly. Mordechai, what was the basis of the Pnei Yeshua's Migu?
It could testify something that they're high, so
Exactly. And why would that have been less ha'aza?
Because the other aid, because the other aid knows about it.
Or doesn't know, right? When it comes, if there's a chilata masa Shabbos, each aid wouldn't know that the other one was innocent. But when you're saying imanu ha'isem, so then you're telling that both of them were somewhere else, and they both know that you're lying. So again, also that migu of the Pnei Yeshua, where we say there's a certain ha'aza, or there's more ha'aza, you know, to imanu ha'isem. Again, that's daska imanu ha'isem. So again, both for the Ran and for the Pnei Yeshua, we can also understand why it's Davka on the Gavra Edim, not like fundamentally like the Baldavra approach, but for more for technical reasons, because that triggers the Umdina of the Ran, and it triggers the Migu of the Pnei Yeshua. And before we go on to the other approach, we can also understand the need to emphasize the Atzma Shel Edim, the Gavra Edim, within the Shem Eid Zomim approach. Remember the idea of the Shem Eid Zomim, just to review. The Shem Eid Zomim is that when you're subject to the devastating, you know, claim of Imanu Ha'isem, that's what triggers this stigma, right? Ruins this person's reputation, right? Why, Aryeh, what's so significant to Imanu Ha'isem? Why is that so stigmatizing? Why is that? Exactly, because that... Exactly.
It's not even more than that.
Exactly. You didn't just exaggerate a detail or change a detail. Imanu Ha'isem says you weren't at the Makom Ha'edus at all. That means you're above the Belivo. You completely made the whole thing up. So within Shem Eid Zomim, we also understand why it's Davka, the Taina of Imanu Ha'isem, because Davka, the Taina of Imanu Ha'isem, which is you weren't present at all, Davka, that creates that stigma of, you know, ruins your reputation to create the Shem Eid Zomim. Yeah.
Isn't there. That not what gets you punished?
According to this Mahalach, it is.
But how does that work? Meaning, yes, technically, yes, you got a Shem Eid Zomim, but that's not what gets you punished. You got punished before having a Shem Eid Zomim.
The Mahalach of Reb Chaim / Reb Moshe Soloveitchik is that is the Machayev of not only the Psul Eidus, but also the...
But it's a din you doing it, not the fact that you have the shame.
No, that's the whole point. Aim, you know, aim bo maisa. It's not the act of Eidus Sheker, because according to that Mahalach, we don't even know that you were the Shakonim. The Chiddush of Hazama is that just being subject to that devastating accusation, right? And it's talking in Seder, we know nowadays, unfortunately, when people are like accused of bad things, sometimes they can't shake it, even if they were proven innocent. They were exonerated by a law firm, right? We know once a devastating accusation is leveled against a person, sometimes that stigmatizes the person for the rest of their life. Unfortunately, we can understand that. So according to that Mahalach, that's what Shem Eid Zomim is. The accusation of Imanu Ha'isem, that you completely made up the Eidus from start to finish because you weren't even there, that creates that stigma of Shem Eid Zomim, which therefore is not only the Mechayev of the Psul Eidus, that's also the Mechayev of the Onesh itself. Okay? Yes? What? Yeah.
The whole idea of
Kashas Ram
is that you plotted to make them have this punishment.
We're saying that the Edom Mazimim have the
Migu. Mazimim could have said.
We're just saying, let's say, I think the Pnei Yeshua says, let's say the Edom Mazimim just want to get the Nidon off the hook.
Right, but that could be, but that's not. How can you isolate the fact? How can you know that for sure? Meaning, how do we know that the Zomim aren't trying to also.
Mazimim?
How does the Zomim or Pasal Eidus, if they say they're Pasal Eidus, that doesn't lead to the same result as saying that Imanu Ha'isem. If you say Imanu Ha'isem, now they also get punishment for that. So can you say Migo, you could have said...
But why would that ruin? But Migo is always motivation.
Right, but why would that also give them a punishment? If we base
it. As you're saying, maybe they Davka want to do Imanu Ha'isem because they want to.
Right,
not only trying to save the Nidon, they're trying to punish the Zomim.
How do we base their believability? And then ability to then give the Zomim the consequence of Kasher Zomim on a Migo.
That doesn't have that.
Taina Tuvo, the Taina Tuvo Migo does not give them punishment.
Okay, fair. You want to respond?
Because the what's it called? Because when you let's say you just have the Mechal Shabbos, another Chayav Misa for being Mechal Shabbos.
Yeah.
Then I'm just going to fill it.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
What about
Yasan? I don't think that was Migu. I think it was Harakta Masa Nevesh or Chalat Masa Shabbos.
Oh,
yeah. Gazanusa
was a case
brought
down in the
Gemara. Gazanusa, that was Tosas, by Soledas.
They always say that Aiden did whatever their testing of Benito did.
Yeah.
Right, that's true.
Exactly. So you always had that Migu. Yeah. Thank you.
He didn't say
Masasa,
but could be
that. Correct. Yeah. I remember when Tosas Bab Kama asks his Migu, because he was only talking about the Soledas issue. When the Pnei Yeshua is talking about the bigger picture in terms of not Psal Edus, but rather in terms of Onish, he specifically gives the examples of Harak Masa Nefesh. So, yeah, Shkar, thank you. Good, okay. So, Adkan is the classical approach in Achi Zuma's Atzmon that it's referring to that the when the Mazimim are Mazim, the Edim Zomim, they have to be focusing on Immanuel Isim, on the Gavra Edim. But, in shocking fashion, when you see it for the first time, there is another approach, actually, a little earlier, that is going to say that Achi Yazimu is Atzman, right? The subject of the Yazimu is not the Edim Zomim, not the Edim Mazimim being Mazim, but Edim Zomim. But who's the subject of the Yazimu?
The Edim Zomim being Mazim themselves.
Exactly. Edim Zomim incriminating themselves. So let's see the earliest source of this, which is the Sifrei. Right, it's even earlier than the Gonim, it's in the Tanaim. Or the Sifrei. If everyone has the Sifrei, which is on the Magamakim panel, do you see it?
Yeah.
So if you just skip to the second line, where is it? La'anospo?
La'anospo. Magid she'eno chayev ad she yachish es asmo. Ikan amru eina idin nasim zomim ad she yazinu es asmo.
Oh, so, right, so what's the drasha? That the idim zomim are only found chayev ad she yachish es asmo. What does that mean? They contradict themselves, which means first idim zomim says Reuven killed Shimon. Then comes along the Mazimim to say Immanuel Yisim. And according to this, the only time we're going to believe the Mazimim over the Zomim, when the Zomim says, you got me, you're right, I wasn't there. Right? Only in that case. And then he says, not only is that the Din, but Mikan Amru, that's Pshat in the Mishnah. Eina Eidim Nasim Zomim Achiyazumu Es Atzmam. It's basically saying, right, the Sifrei is saying, the Pshat in that line is that the whole thing is referring to the Eidim Zomim incriminating them. Incriminating themselves. Oh. So, Sifrei, right, the Tanaic material, is obviously the earliest makor for this idea, this alternative, that the only time that the Din Hazama applies is when the Edim Zomim incriminate themselves. Only thing that's not clear from the Sifrei, at least in my mind, is what the Drasha is from. Anyone figure out the Drasha from the words of La'anospo? I don't know where the Sifrei gets that from. Like, the Diuk of La'anospo, which means that you're just speaking about your friends. I don't know where the Sifrei was coming from, what the diuk in the pasuk is, but anyone have a pshat in that? So I don't know what the pshat. I don't know what, you know, generally the drasha is coming from. Generally, it's coming from actual words of the pasuk. Generally, unless it's just like an asmakta, but I wasn't able to figure that out. But at the end of the day, the Sifrei is clearly establishing this din, this tenai that the din azama only applies when they incriminate themselves. Yeah.
How could when who's they incriminate?
When the Edim Zomimim, the story is as follows. Edim Zomimim first. Yeah, they're all the same. Yeah. The Sifrei, it's all in the same halach. Exactly. Yeah.
I thought you're not believed to incriminate yourself.
Okay, we'll get back to that. Okay, good. Good. Yeah. There are a lot of things wrong. I mean, a lot of things which seem different, and we're going to use that as a way to answer another kasha. So two kashas are going to answer themselves. Yeah.
Can you read the Sifrei Magid Sheino Chayev Ad She'yachish Es Atzmo, meaning you're not chayev until the Zomim or the Mazimim are Machish as
Atma?
I guess it would be plural.
But, yeah. Ain't no Chayev at Shiyachish as Atmo. It sounds like it's going on it's the same subject, the Edim Zomim themselves. That's what it sounds like. So the earliest source of this in a Mechudish read of the Mishnah, and this changes really everything about Hazama. Everything you know about Hazama just got flipped on its head. We don't really trust the Mazimim over the Zomim. It's just that it's only when the Zomim then agree with the Mazimim. So we have the Sifrei, and then Al Adaf, who quotes this? The Rabbein Hanan, exactly. Mayor, would you mind? You referenced this before. Right, the Rabbeinu Chananel quotes this b'shem the Gaonim. So Rabbeinu Chananel, right after the Mishnah.
So Rabbeinu the Mishnah Gaonim,
Hamuzmin.
Hamuzmin, sorry.
Oh, so he says, right, so what's the pshat in Achi Yazimu Atzman? Achi Yachrishu, what does Yachrishu mean? Silence, that generally would be considered. What halachic concept comes to mind? Shtika Kehoda. So either they're, when the Mazimun come and say, what are you talking about? You might know why Yisim. They're silent, which is considered a Shtika Kehoda. Or. Achi Yachrishu.
He's
they're quiet. Vilo yachishu amuzmim. His formulation is that they are quiet and they don't contradict. They don't contradict. So according to at least the Gaonim quote in the Rach, as long as they stay quiet, that's going to be considered ishtika kehoda. So just the ha'ara of the footnote of the Cheshek Shlomo is that what ends up being a difficult read, the Mishnah. Right, what becomes difficult? Yitzhak? Which line particularly?
The Ketzad.
Right? First we have this line, Eina Eidin Nasan Zomen Achi Yazimu Es Atzman, which according to the Gaonim and the Sifrei, mean that the Eidin Zomen must incriminate themselves. And then it says Ketzad, and then does the Ketzad talk about that at all? No, it talks about a completely different din of Imanu Ayisim. So, the Cheshek Shlomo says, oh, you find this elsewhere, that the Ketzad is not really giving pshat in that first line. It's saying that, oh, in that case where they do incriminate themselves, still Ketzad, there's another Tanai of Iman Waiz. So again, obviously it's not the cleanest, you know, read of the Mishnah, but according to the second Mahalach, that's what you're going to say, that the Ketzad is not a pirush of Achi Yazimu Es Atzman. It's really coming to explain a second din. So first line tells you din number one, that the Eidin Zomen need to incriminate themselves, and then Ketzad introduces a new din of Imanu Ayisa. So you have the Sifrei, and you have the Gaonim in the Rach, and now you have a third Gaon. Who is that? Rav Haigon. And it's very important to see this inside. So let's, who hasn't, Ellie, I don't think you read yet. Ellie, would you mind seeing the reading together? Rav Haigon and Mishpatei Shavuos are also a couple important diukim to be made.
Ve'od niskar eich derech ha'azama ruvigon edim she'idu she'ruvin lava mishimon mea kasef beret shal v'yom ploni v'bo shnayim achayim amru lahem osu yom imanu v'yisim v'avel v'hodu lahem arishonim azeh o yishtaku.
This is where I was saying, Mayor, this is what I was inserting into the Rach, but you're right. Right, so the Mishnah, right. So Rav Haigon says, all right, the only time Imanu Ayisim leads to Azama is when v'hodu lahem harishonim azeh, when they explicitly say, you are right, oh, yishtaku, or they're quiet. Does either shtika koda, or you explicitly admit that they are correct. And it continues. And so seemingly saying that this is pshat in that line, explains. So right, so that case, if it's the Nerig or the Horig, so that's Hachash, that's not Azama. Well, then he adds, then he adds to the end of the Mishnah, and even after Imanu Ayisim, still you're not going to have Azama unless the Azama is done bifnei hanizomim, right? It has to be in front of them, so that they can either be modeh for their shtika kohoda, or so sheyodu, sorry, that they explicitly say you're right, or yishtiku, that they are quiet. Right, but if they're not ready, if it's not in front of them, and if they don't admit, so then it's not going to be your case of Hazama. So it's interesting that so Rav Haigon clearly says this pshat in the Mishnah. So again, if you notice, he doesn't just say this pshat in the first Mishnah, he also adds it at the end of the Mishnah. So I don't know if he has a different girsa in the Mishnah, or this is his pshat, because it seems like he's bothered by the Ketzad, right? How can you say Ketzad for a line and not reference that in your explanation of what the Ketzad is? So Rav Haigon inserts the din of Achi Yazimu Es Atzman, that they need to be modeh either implicitly through a shtika or explicitly through actually admitting that they're wrong, and he inserts that at the end of the ketzad, seemingly trying to resolve the ketzad. Seems like he doesn't want to read the ketzad as two separate dinim. He wants the ketzad to include this din that he just introduced of the need for the Edom Zomim to admit. Before we analyze fully, right, this mahalach of the Sifrei, the Gaonim, and Rav Haigon, explain where they're coming from and why do they need this tonight to trust the Mazimim over the Zomim, Ha'ara that actually Eitan mentioned in Seder, which is a very important one, is that what emerges from these Mefarshim, right, is that Edom Zomim will never be subject to Hazama unless they admit to it. Which means that they never really have to be scared of Hazama because they're in the driver's seat, right? They will never be subject to Hazama unless they admit to it. So this is very important because there's a concept of there's a requirement for Eidus to be Yachol Lahazima. And we'll see this later on. Eidus She'iata Yachol Lahazima, Eidus which is not subject to Hazama is not good Eidus. And one of the classical explanations for why Eidus needs to be nitan to Hazama is why? So the mirtas factor, because you want every aid, all aidim need to be scared. You better be telling the truth, because there's always a threat of Hazama. That's the classical explanation for why Eidus she'iata yachol hazima, or Eidus is positive. The Eidus needs to be yachol hazima, because you want that mirtas factor. These Nefarshim can't understand the requirement of Eidus she'iata hazima in terms of mirtas. Because there's no fear factor, there's nothing to be scared of if you're in the driver's seat. Because as long as you deny the Eidim Mazimim, you'll be believed. So it can't be a din in Mirtas. So happens to be, we'll see later on, this comes up in the famous first Tosas in Makos, that while many think that Eidim Shechel Azim is a din in Mirtas, the fear factor, there is an alternative that's a Gzeres HaKasef. That part of the din of Kasher Zoma is a Gzeres HaKasef that Eidim needs to be Yachol Azimah. There are several nafkamina between those two pshatim. We'll get to that later. But this is another one that these gaonim, the sifrei, who say that the hazama that you don't have the din of hazama until the eidim zomim admit to it. They obviously are taking the gzeiras custom approach and not the mirtas. Yeah.
I mean, the only way it could be resolved is with the third set of eidim, but that would be the same thing as any set of a third one could just solve.
Well, it's not going to be subject even if the third come. It's not going to be subject to Hazama unless they admit.
Right, so it's just Tambi, the checker?
Yeah. Hakasha, it would be Hakasha. Yeah. That's a good question. That's not clear. I'll say the Pashas, it sounds like they're being mode to the Taina of Imanu Ha'isim. What? Yeah, but in light of the Shtika, meaning, if Shtika would work, then presumably that's also that's the Yode, to use the Lashon. That's presumably, yeah, you're right, we weren't there. We were with you. That's presumably the Pshat, yeah.
Along the same lines, can they be Mode even if there's no Eidus of Yom HaYisim?
So that's going to get to our point right now. So, which also connects to your other point. So we're going to do it in 1 second.
What does this also explain why there's no Hasara by Zomim? Because if they're admitting that, like, obviously, Mizu, because they're the ones who are saying that, like, we are Zomim.
You're just saying, what would be the timing of it? Yeah. You'll say, the Gemara in Ksuba discusses that aspect of the timing. Everyone says, oh, why is the Rambam gives his own reason, but yeah, the Gemara discusses that. So let's at least start the analysis here. So the big question here is, why in the world would the Sifrei, the Gaonim and the Rach, and the Haigon, why would they say this? Why do they need the Zomim to admit, to incriminate themselves in order for the Din Hazama to apply? So what would be the easiest explanation? Try your tray, right? There's, I would say, not, no better, but this is one of the best rios to the perspective of try your tray, is that you say that the reason why you need the Eidim Zomim to incriminate themselves, because try your tray. Since it's try your tray, we don't know whether the Eidim Mazimim are correct or the Eidim Zomim. So the only way you're going to get a Din of Hazama is when the Eidim Zomim admit that they are wrong. So the simplest explanation for these Mefarshim is that they adopt the Trey Trey approach, and therefore, since it's a stalemate, so basically, in a Hanami, the question that everyone's asking, Trey or Trey, they're basically answering, in a Hanami, it is Trey or Trey, The only way we're going to end up having a din hazama is if one of the trei admits that they're wrong. Right? And in that case, when the eden zomim admit that they're wrong, so then of course, we'll get to that in a moment, then of course the mazimim are going to believe over the zomim because the zomim just admitted that they are wrong. So I just want to get back to now Stephen's all his questions. The obvious question that the Chasam Sofer raises on this is, wait a second, if the din of Hazama only applies when the Edim Zomim themselves are admitting that they're wrong, so what's the Kasha? What's the Chiddush? What is the Chiddush of Hazama? So if, right, the regular din of Hazama is a huge Chiddush. To believe the Mazim over the Zomim when it's Trey or Trey, that's a huge Chiddush. Right? To treat them as, all the different explanations are a huge chidushim. But here, you're basically taking all the teeth out of the din hazama. You're saying the din hazama only applies when the zomim themselves admit that they're wrong. So then what in the world is the chidush? So, to answer all the questions together, so the Chasam Sofer himself gives one answer. What's the Chasam Sofer's answer, what the chidush is? What? Kenas. Right? According to this machlokas earlier in the Masechta, Rabbi Kiva, we paskin like that the kasher zomim is a kenas. So assuming that the onesh of kasher zomim is a kenas, generally what's the klal? When it comes to kenas, modeh, the kenas, pater, generally if a person admits, right, to an avera which is subject to kenas, modeh b'kenas pater. So according to the Chasam Sofer, the chiddush here is that even though the onesh of kasher zomim is a kenas, the chiddush here is that modeh b'kenas here is going to be chayim. But otherwise, it's not a chiddush that you're going to believe the edim azim over the zomim once the zomim admit to it, says according to Chasam Sofer. Well, the chiddush that even though you know that the mazimim are correct, it's still a chiddush you give them the knas of kasher zomim. That's the one answer of the Chasam Sofer. But there's another answer. What else is a chiddush here? What other klal and shas is being contradicted here when we allow? I don't want to say too much. Yeah. Generally, the klal and shas is that once Edom give testimony, they have until Toch de Dibor to retract. After Toch de Dibor, we don't believe their retraction. Right? So I would say even more basic answer is that the chiddush of Hazama, according to this Mahalach, is that we accept the retraction of the Zomim. When they later on say, yes, you're correct, Mazimim, we weren't there. The fact that we basically ignore the general klal of kibbutz shigah shuv in a chozer magid and accept the retraction, that seems to be the chiddush of hazama. And therefore, to answer your question before, by a regular case of a chasha, if you have one eid says Reuven killed Shimon, and one kat says Reuven killed Shimon, the second kat says, what are you talking about? The horeg was with us. And then the first kat says, oh yeah, you're right. We don't accept that. It's still a chasha. That seems to be the chiddush of Hazama, according to the Mefarshim, that we accept the retraction.
Yeah. We say that maybe since, let's say, in a case of Zomim for Misa, that maybe since Misa's on the line, so we do everything that we can to try and make sure that we don't kill people.
Yeah, so like Noam mentioned this in Seder. As far as I know, the Klal Kevin Shaykh Shavin Achazar Magid also applies in the realm of Misa. Okay. I don't think that's an exception. Yeah.
How do you read that into Rabbah? My husband is Zayas Sahani.
Well, because generally, according to the ordinary dinum, we have a tray or tray, and we would ignore the retraction. So the chiddush is to accept the retraction to therefore say that the eden zomim are psum.
What is your reason?
Or Rava says it's chiddushu. My chas is sam kasahani, because according to the general dinum of shuvei nechozer magid. Right, once you have tray or tray, even when one of the tray retracts, we don't accept that retraction, and we keep that stalemate.
So meaning we should have relied on the second cast to be machish the first cast.
And then meaning once the second cast came along and it was machish the first cast, tray or tray, it should stay there. The fact that we then say, no, the zomim are the psulim, the mazimim are the ksherim, that itself is.
In my chazus that you relied on the zomim. Zomim's rather than
exactly, leave it as a stalemate, exactly. And then it gets a little bit into the Bali Tosas and Bavakama is a chiddush that the Mazim are ksherim, because again, this is all the Trey Trey Mahalach, which is similar to Tosos. That would seem like, oh, maybe the chiddush is only the Mazim, what is the chiddush of the zomim and all tzadik versus badai? Gets in that whole discussion. I think we're going a little over. We'll stop here, and I'll take any questions on that.